You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Well, I promised you soup on the radio, and this is it. Of course, this soup on the radio can be turned into real soup.
Yes, it can.
And that can happen. That can happen on Sunday coming up at Woodbine Park. The Yes It Can comes from Michael Statlander, one of Canada's best-known chefs. He and his Canadian Chefs Congress are going to do this year what they did last year, and that event was called Foodstock.
That's
off
correct.
In the country. This year, you're in the big city.
Yes, we are right at the Woodbine Park by the beaches, and from 11 to 5 o'clock, in collaboration with the David Suzuki Foundation, we are putting on Soupstock.
And if it's anywhere near the success of the one last year, you'll have, what, 28,000 of your closest friends coming for some soup?
Yeah, I think that's really actually the point why we're also in Toronto, because I think we have a lot of allies and a lot of people who we still want to touch with this issue. So we're hoping maybe we're going to hit the 50,000 people mark.
50,000. Yeah. Wow. Can that park hold? I guess it could, really.
Well, it would, the idea is...
Not all at the same time,
exactly.
Right? People would channel through that
Correct.
Area.
Correct.
Although
the idea.
It's a pretty big park. I mean,
it's pretty big. And it stretches out to the beaches. You know,
yeah. All around there. Exactly. Yeah. I remember talking to you after the success last year, and you weren't really sure at the beginning or right after that whether or not you'd do it again. But here you are doing it again.
Yes, absolutely. I think things are very quiet on the front and so on. And I think it's very good time to, keep it up in people's mind. And it's such a pressing issue. Like I had really kind of after this year's hot summer, with all the drought and, especially in the States, it's very much more important to let people know that we secure this for where our food is coming from.
Well, and it's a perfect way, I think, as long as we've been involved in the fight, it's a perfect way for city people and country people to come together to fight this huge thing.
Exactly.
It doesn't happen that often that city people and country people get together on these issues.
That's very true. You know, I actually had a little talk this morning with one of my organizer, and she said, I'm so emotionally overwhelmed by the support of the farmers.
Really?
And actually, and this is already also the feeling we are getting right now from the public. There is actually a triangle of chefs, farmers, and the public. It's really, we're all fighting for the same thing, really.
I always know when the issue is really taking hold, when I can drive around the city of Toronto and see stop the mega quarry signs on somebody's front lawn.
Exactly.
Even though this mega quarry is 100 kilometers away, it's not even really that close.
Yeah.
Is that what keeps you going, the notion that it's such an outrageous project when you look at it, when you look at all of the details of what will happen to that land?
It is outrageous. And, I think, sometimes we only think about ahead maybe 3, 5, or 10 years. But we should think about 20 years and 30 years with population explosions, and climate change and food where it comes from. And if you think about this food, what produces 20 pounds of potato for every citizen of Toronto, that's only 100 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And we have to secure this land. And that's not even just talking about the water, what's involved.
Well, and if you look at the land itself, it's 2,300 acres that would be totally developed. When that land is lost to farming, it's lost forever.
Oh, for sure.
They won't be able to grow diddly
Downtown
squat there.
Downtown Toronto? No. Down in the pit there, that's not going to happen.
What are you going to grow in a hole that's 200 feet deep? I mean, it's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And all your chefs are behind you. Obviously, they feel as strongly about this as you do. Or they wouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely, very much so. I mean, we are so connected. I mean, right now with the culture in restaurants and hotels is that people want to know where their food comes from. And that is so, you have a relations with farmers and gardeners. I mean, farmers and gardeners are getting together with chefs in the spring and the late winter and discussing of what the farmer can grow for the chefs and so on, So it's a very hardcore connection.
Well, but that helps everybody, doesn't it? If we really think about this idea, of eating local food, we as consumers, as the consumers of food and consumers in the marketplace, will drive a higher demand for this food and maybe keep some farmers in business who might otherwise be looking somewhere else because farming is such a tough business.
And have less people in the hospitals.
Yeah,
because,
well,
you know, you can create healthy food and a healthy food culture, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a real kind of things what we are working towards, too.
Well, if you look at the whole local food thing, I mean, we're, we've grown very accustomed to having, you know, lettuce for our salads in the middle of February when, of course, you can't grow it here unless it's in a hothouse situation. But aside from that, there is a... We're in an area right here in Toronto surrounded by a fair amount of pretty good growing land where an awful lot of local food that we might like to consume is available.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. It's very close. And you know, actually, I think with technology evolving, you know, this kind of lettuce could be possible also all year round.
Yeah.
You know, with solar greenhouses and all that stuff too, you know, so...
Well, you would think so, and but it would have to be driven by demand. In other words, with more and more people getting a clear idea of what eating locally grown food is all about, I think.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the locally is one thing, and then organic, it's the next thing. And it's about also having that straight connection with your farmer, you know, and a bond. You have festivals around it and communicate with them. But also, like, you know, environmental imprint, the footprint
the
of
footprint,
like not,
yeah,
not
yeah.
moving the food from far away and so on, you know? And actually, when you have a local food system, you are demanding of what's been grown, what you want in your market. When you actually are like getting it from far abroad, it's more or less, well, now this is what we have. This is what you get kind of thing. You know?
Well, and what would you prefer, a truck-ripened tomato or one that was grown somewhere around here that can be put into the marketplace at a time when it still tastes like a tomato?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The I've talked to a number of politicians about this, as you have, and I remember riding a school bus up into the area for one of the many tours that we took. And the federal politician I was with was looking around and marveling at all of this, marveling at the crops and the sharp view of things that all those farmers up there have, and not liking the idea. But she said to me, you know, I have to admit, I'm a city girl. I've never before seen a potato plant.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I know. Well, this is amazing, actually. We had another press conference a couple of weeks ago, right, at Dave Wonderzak's farm, what's bordering on
the
Highlands
farm. Yes, yes, I know where that is, yeah.
And it's unbelievable when you get a grasp of what's actually, how much food can be grown there and what's grown there. And when you touch the soil, it's a totally different connection, you know.
Well, when he that particular day, he was there and he took a handful of the soil and he was talking about it, how good it was.
Yeah.
And he's very modest about it as well as being very proud of his land. He said, yeah, this is good. And I said, well, where in the world is it better? He said, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think any, I'm not sure anywhere.
I agree.
The perfect combination of...
There's seven categories of what makes the perfect soil, and this land is fulfilling it in all of them.
So in other words, you couldn't have found better farmland to destroy than the farmland
exactly.
in Melanchthon Township.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Now, soup is the theme this year. Food was the theme last year. Tell me a little bit more about the theme of soup.
Well, the one thing it's about soup is that it's, you know, it's almost a little bit like tea. People gather around a bowl of soup or like a cup of tea and have a conversation. So that's the idea. But also it's fall time and there's all our beautiful crops right now in Ontario. And, you know, I mean, soup has so many angles, right? You can have also like a cold soup. Don't think just like as potato soup.
Sure, sure.
But like a warm plum soup with cognac ice cream or something like that, melting slowly into it. And of course, then the other thing is like Toronto, as versatile it is ethnically, we have all the different kind of people like Chusa Lee is going to do something more spicy Chinese. and other people going to do, you know, everybody does say
Will there be any borscht around, you suppose?
There will be borscht, yeah. Ravine Winery, they will cook borscht, actually, with some of my beets.
Uh-huh.
And
with some of your beets, okay.
Yeah, I grew a lot of beets this year, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, anyway, so this, of course, there's going to be a lot of variation again on potatoes and with the potatoes from around the area and so on. And but, yeah, it's going to be a great combination. And also we have even chefs coming from the United States, from Buffalo and mm-hmm. from Boston.
As a matter of fact, we're talking to Chef Rich Garcia tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's from Boston,
correct.
Home of the Bapost Group, the Bapost Fund. They're the people behind the mega quarry. And he has some very interesting thoughts about all of this.
Absolutely.
But he's come out in favor. He's on the people's side now of this whole situation, having examined it very carefully. And we'll talk to him about some of the reasons tomorrow. So what are the special challenges? First off, the weather was horrible last year. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges going to be with putting on soup stock this year?
Well, you know, last year we were shooting for...
Hoping for somewhat better weather
Well, actually, the way I looked at the weather record, it looks very good. You know, like, I mean, that's the one thing about soup anyway. If it's a nice weather, so, like, soup is great. But if it's bad soup, then it warms you and makes you also feel good, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, last year we had... we were shooting for 70 chefs, and we got almost 100. And this year, we're shooting for about 120, and we got 180 chefs.
180 chefs.
Yes.
Amazing.
That shows you how much our people are really concerned about this, too, from our community.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Michael Stadlander is here, one of Canada's best-known chefs, and his Canadian Chefs Congress are going to be doing their thing again this year. Instead of calling it food stock, as was the case last year, it's soup stock right here at Woodbine Park, right in the big city of Toronto. So if you took our advice last year, and many of you did, 28,000 people were there, you're hoping for even more in the big city, right?
Yeah, we said 50,000. I think it's pretty easy.
just a mere 50,000 of your closest friends. Now, the idea is if you... Do you have to buy it? How does it work if you really want to go there and participate? Run us through some of that.
You actually buy, tickets. And one ballon of tickets is, like, three tickets for $10.
Okay.
And
so that's three different soups right
that's
there.
That's correct,
Okay.
And also you can use some of the tickets. You can use it for a raffle, too, and stuff like that, for, like, potware from Orglet.
Okay. And if you have a favorite chef, how do you find him or her?
Well, once you enter the arena there, we will give him a map, and you will, all the chefs are numbered, and you can choose where you're going and so on, you know.
Yeah. So you can go and have certain persons borscht or with your beets or
exactly.
or go wherever you want, right? Yeah.
I just should maybe mention also there's going to be lots of artists, actually performing artists in the crowd too, and you know, so on. And one thing I want to make sure is please bring your own soup bowl and soup spoon.
All right.
And maybe even your napkins, you know, because we also want to be like not having all that stuff be thrown out later in the garbage and so on.
Well, yes, there won't be anything to throw out. Yeah. What are the special challenges in preparing the soup at that site? How's that going to work?
Actually, it's not being prepared at the site. Like, chefs will bring it in the morning, and also there's refrigerated trucks that can actually bring it the night before. But we're all going to have these little ground cookers where we're going to have our big stock pots on it.
Oh, has any statistician stopped to figure out how many gallons of soup will be there or anything of that nature? Do you know?
Well, you know, actually, we're asking each chef to do 2,000 portion, 4 ounces.
2,000 times 4 ounces.
Yeah, I'm making actually 6,000 portions.
Okay, and you're making six. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of portions of soup is what we're saying.
A lot of portions of soup.
All right. And what are the times?
The time is from 11 to 4 o'clock.
okay, 11 in the morning until 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the notion is, and I think we mentioned this a few days ago when we were first talking about this, probably better to try and take transit there?
Yeah, transit or bicycle. We also have bicycle kind of parking, like valet parking.
Uh-huh.
And transit would probably be the best. And but, I mean, you know, it's out by the beaches, so you have to maybe walk along if you have to take the car or something.
Well, make a day out of it.
Yeah,
get
for
a little
sure.
Bit of, you know, get work up an appetite so you can have more soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, the bottom line here is that some of the money raised here will go to our friends at NDAC, the North Dufferin Alliance of Citizens, and
nothing is going to NDAC today.
Nothing
directly right now, anyway. But the David Suzuki Foundation, who is working very closely with NDAC, so like things go through them in that way.
Oh, I see. So it'll get to them that way, is what
we're
saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so there will be NDAC people there who will be able to tell more people this issue, about the serious issue.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a whole. Areas called the Friends of Soup Stocks,
uh-huh.
All kinds of organizations who have their own booths, and you know, you can all get all kinds of information about what's going on with a soup stock.
How unique is this now, kind of in its second year and somewhat changed from the first year? How unique is all of this? I've never heard of anything quite like this.
I think it's a very unique situation. I think you know, once we will get all our people this year with soup stock this time, this will be probably the biggest food protest in the world.
You think so?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You show me, I have Googled it and I haven't found anything like it.
Well, that's what I mean. There's nothing that I can compare it to.
Yeah. But I think, again, it's the solidarity between farmers, chefs, and the public. It's like we are really, really all concerned about our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say the environmental movement is dead. I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
No.
The environmental movement perhaps moves more slowly unless there's an issue that everyone can understand that's up front and is seen as a threat to the environment.
Exactly.
Then I think mere mortals gather together and say, no way, we don't want this.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I think so. I like to think of the movement as getting larger and larger.
Yeah.
Certainly with events like Soup Stock, there's an opportunity to do that. Even if people come just for the soup or to see their favorite chef or to have some really good soup, I'm thinking that a lot of them would still get somewhat caught up in the reasons behind food stock and soup stock as well.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping so, anyway.
Yeah, I think, you know, once you are there, and I believe in always fields of energies, like the people will really grasp it who would maybe just go for the soup and maybe the nice day on a Sunday. But it really kind of brings out the, you know, the concernness of people when you get them all there and serving soup and, you know, and, you know, spending your time with working in a way, but it's a nice work, you know, nice work for the community.
I think the other effect it has, anytime 28,000 or 50,000 people get together surrounding a central issue, politicians are compelled to pay attention.
Well, that's what we hope
they
so.
They cannot
that's
ignore
the idea.
This kind of thing.
That's the idea.
And even though, as you said earlier, we have to have the long view about this quarry and what it will mean over the years, threatening the water supply, destroying the land as far as farming is concerned. Politicians usually think term by term, so they think 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
We got to think much more into the future than that. And that's the tough part, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting them to realize that these issues can have effect on people well beyond their term in office, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you know, think about just about the pumps of the water. They can never be turned off until the last day of the earth. I mean, who's going to take responsibility for that?
Well, that's the most ridiculous, one of the most ridiculous things about this.
Yeah.
You know, the hundreds of millions of liters
of
water.
You cannot dig into that. This is crazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll hope that this brings some added light to the issue. I think people are still coming to the issue, having not heard of it before. I mean, I think it's still growing in terms of
totally.
People finding out about the thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I mean, I go on events and stuff like that, and this is always on my mind, Soupstock, and I talk about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know, but more and more will know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Michael, thanks very much for coming in, and the best of luck. What kind of soups are you serving now?
I'm cooking a soup all from my farm. It's a potato soup with then there's a little float in there, like a little puree from roasted beets, squash, and leeks.
Oh, all right. Anybody making pumpkin soup?
Probably. Should be, yeah?
Well, I don't know. I'll look for, when I go there, I'll look for that, too, because I remember having pumpkin soup once when I was a kid. It was really good.
Oh, pumpkin soup's good.
And if it's a bad day, so much the better. The soup will keep you warm, right?
Absolutely.
Michael Statlander, thank you very much for being part of our program.
Yeah.
And remember now, that's on Sunday, October the 21st, Woodbine Park, right here in the city of Toronto. So on this occasion, the country people will come to the city rather than the city people going to the country.
That's exactly.
All right. Yeah. Be there or be square, as we say.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.